Morning. This morning's scripture reading is a selected reading from John 20 and Luke 24, 13 through 35. Early on the first day of the week, while it was dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We're continuing our series on resurrection encounters and what happened when the people saw Jesus and the things surrounding that, and specifically looking at the emotions surrounding this event. And of course, we've talked about fear, we've talked about the fact that we have gladness, we see gladness, but also when there is a death, one of the biggest things that we notice that happens is people are sad. I want to say something. As I've said before, and I will say throughout the series, God created us with emotions. Emotions are not a bad thing. How many times people said, "Oh, that person's just emotional," as if it's a bad thing. And sometimes, well, yeah, as with about anything, we can become too anything. Too logical, too emotional, too critical. There's a lot of ways we can get ourselves into trouble. But the emotions that God gave us are given to us. They're a gift. And they can lead us to good things. But they can also, because we live in a fallen world, lead us to things that can be impairments. We talked about that with fear. You got the morning service on Easter. We talked about fear and the fact that it can lead us to wisdom, or fear can lead you to anxiety and this want to control. Gladness can remind us of the good things. It can lead to joy over the mission, or this idea of wanting to feel good all the time. But sadness has these two things too. It can lead us to a place of grieving, where we come to acceptance, or it can lead us to self-pity or this sense of resignation, like, "Well, you know, I can do about it," sort of giving up, which isn't good either. We can come to a place where we can accept something and it can be good. We're accepting the fact we have this loss, that something happened that was tragic. There's a reason to be sad. Because here's the thing. Sadness, though most people call it a bad emotion, tells us something of life of value has been lost. Sometimes that thing of value is a person. Sometimes that thing of value may be time. I wish I had more time. or I wish I had more time with this person. And we feel sad because something of value is lost or is going to be lost. And we need to realize this. You've heard me joke before, which really I'm not joking, and I read somebody else say the same thing this week, which made me feel good. He said, when I die, I hope they're sad. I want them to think that my life had value and they're going to miss it. That life or whatever it is, when you lose it, there's something worthwhile there. There's something there that we need to be sad about. Because we're losing something of value. We're losing someone or something that we were hoping and counting on. But the problem with this is it can lead us another way. It can lead us to that place where we can just sort of like, oh, well, I guess this is what's going to happen. I'll just sort of just, well, I'm going to lose people. Bad things will happen. Just, and try to have this sense of resignation. Just, oh, well. We can also get into this area of self-pity. Nothing goes my way. I'm just thinking something. Speaking of nothing going my way, that'll help the people who want to hear me later on. Oh, poor me. Yeah, nothing goes my way. Everything goes bad. Do you see the way they look at me on Sunday morning? I don't know if they like me. I mean, we can laugh at that a little bit, but we've all probably been there one time or another. And we're really good about when we see other people in that position saying, come on, you need to pull up. Get it? Don't just stay in this self-pity. But we also don't want to go to the other extreme. And when somebody's actually grieving, actually having sadness, you just tell them, just get over it. Well, I'm sorry. There are some things we shouldn't just get over. You've had a dream you've worked through for years, and now all of a sudden all the doors have closed, everything's fallen apart, and you know it's not going to happen. And you weep. You have sadness. Why? Because you realize that something of value is gone. Today we're going to look at two different encounters. One, we just read about Mary Magdalene. She came from, of course, Magdala, which was the amazing thing about this is people went to Magdala to get comfort. That's part of in the name. But as we know, Mary had seven demons. She was far from comforted. In fact, she had seven demons, as one person heard say. She had each one of them could take a day off, could take time off, because they only had to work one day a week to torment her. Because she had one for every day. She was not getting comfort, and yet Jesus delivered her. And Jesus was there and had fulfilled this. Gave this dream for a future. And she had this loving teacher. She had this dream that all the disciples had of a messianic kingdom where Jesus was going to be put in charge. And he was going to put things right. And now Jesus had died and it was all gone.
When you think you have met the right person, they're there, they're going to help you, they're going to make things right, and now all of a sudden they're gone. Sadness is a right response. And we see here her being sad, not understanding what's going on. When she sees the body gone, she's wondering, someone must have stolen it. By the way, hasn't been a strange thing. In 1830, a former gardener, her being angry over being fired at Mount Vernon, broke into the crypt and attempted to steal the skull of George Washington. Actually, he got the wrong Washington. In the fall of 1876, just 11 years after his assassination, there was a plot to steal President Lincoln's remains from the Oak Ridge Cemetery and hold them ransom in Indiana Dunes. The Secret Service stopped the plot. Ironically, though, it was Lincoln's last act as president, one of his last acts, to create the Secret Service that actually kept his body from being stolen. During Jesus' times, there are records of bodies being stolen and held for ransom. Can you imagine thinking this might have happened? Somehow they got past the guards and they stole the body of Jesus. This one that you held in respect. I don't know about you, but I probably would not have been sad so much as I'd just been angry. Give me the body or I will kick. Anyway, I will talk to you very forcefully, including fist involved. But Mary was just overwhelmed. She was so overwhelmed with sadness that actually, here's the crazy thing, she didn't even recognize Jesus. And sometimes when we allow ourselves sadness to overwhelm us, it blinds us from what's right in front of us. Mary is sad. Where have they taken Jesus? She's heard, he's not here. Well, duh, I can see that. He's resurrected. Huh? She's not getting it. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in front of her, but she is so overwhelmed with the sadness, she doesn't see it. And then Jesus just says the right word. And I just have to say, when Jesus says your name, things clear up. See, Mary, she wanted to find the body of Jesus. She wanted to get a hold of it so she could take care of it. Because sometimes also when you have that bit of sadness, you want to try to make things right or do something. Now, then after this, all of a sudden she hears Mary, she recognizes Jesus. She grabs hold of him. And he's saying, you need to let go. You need to go and tell my disciples, I have risen. I'm going to my God and your God. My Father and your Father. And she gets up and goes and tells the disciples. She wanted to find the body. She wanted, once she found the Messiah, when she found Jesus, she wanted to hold on to him. But Jesus was like, no. You need to accept this, and I've got something else for you to do. See, sadness will lead us to a place of acceptance. Sadness will get us to a place eventually. So we accept what is happening without bitterness and without resentment. If we do it as God wants us to do it. But another group of people we read about On the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24. It says, now at the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. That sounds like, okay, they're just going this place. But you need to understand something. Throughout the book of Luke, Luke keeps pointing toward to Jerusalem. Jesus, everything is pointing to go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem. And now all of a sudden, they're at Jerusalem, the place the whole book is pointing toward. And what are they doing? They're leaving. They're walking away. And sometimes when sadness overwhelms us, it causes us sometimes to just give in, just have that resignation. What's the use? I'm out of here. Why try? It's just going to happen. Something bad's going to happen again. I'm not even going to worry about it anymore. They moved away. Here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. Though they're moving away from where they're supposed to be, Jesus hasn't forgotten. Though they are leaving, they'd heard the word that the body's missing. They knew something was going on, but they've given up. They're going on. Verse 14, it says, and they were talking with each other about everything that happened. And as they talk and discuss these things to each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Look in. They weren't expecting him, and he's right there. But he kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along the way? And they stood there, their face downcast. Well, yeah, they're sad, they're upset. Of course they look sad. That's part of life. There are times we should feel sad. There are times, let me tell you something, you shouldn't cheer someone up. Scripture says there is a time to weep. There's also a time to rejoice, so don't stay there, Eeyore. We need to move on beyond that, but there is a time for it. Their face were downcast. One of them said, named Cleophas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? Are you the only one that doesn't get it? That's what I'm going to say, he's saying it. Don't you know what's going on? We figure that a lot of times when things go wrong in our life, everybody ought to realize it. Sometimes, let's be honest, they don't always. Here's the thing about it. The only person who really did understand what had really gone on was walking with them. They were the guys that were clueless. Jesus knew what was going on. He had a better understanding than they would ever have. And that they're looking at him and saying, don't you get what happened? Jesus is so good. He didn't laugh at him or nothing. I might have attempted to say, yeah, I know more than you do, buddy. They're downcast, they're sad, they're filled with despair. And Jesus says, what things? Like I said, he knew what was going on. He was the only person that did. Let me tell you something. God always knows what's going on. I'm sure none of you, because I know I have, and I hope you all better than me, have never gone to God and said, God, what are you doing? What's going on? Like he didn't know. He already knows. Scripture goes on and says, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, found it just the women had said, but did not see Jesus. They admitted here in their very saying there was the possibility of hope. And yet, what are they doing? They're leaving town. They're walking away from the place that all this good stuff might be happening, and they're out of their way, out of town. And let me tell you something. When you allow sadness to move into depression, into resignation, into self-pity, it will cause you to move away from the place you need to be. Even a place of hope. It will cause you to move away from what is good. I said, they were moving away from their hope. It says, then he said to them, how foolish are you? By the way, he's not saying, you guys are a bunch of idiots. He's like, guys, you don't get it, do you? He said, I don't see this as Jesus being browbeating them. He's like saying, you guys just don't see it. How slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter in his glory? And he began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what was said in scriptures concerning himself. Jesus said, you're slow to catch on. And let me tell you something. When we're in the midst of sadness, moving maybe into depression and resignation, sometimes we're a little slow. Okay, a lot of times we're slow. We're slow to catch on. We're slow to realize. But Jesus came alongside, didn't just browbeat him and say, come on, get back in line, get back to Jerusalem. No, he explained it to them. He talked to them. And in a sense, took them through Scripture back to where they needed to be. And sometimes when we are filled with sadness, it's hard for us to accept good news. Sad heart takes time to process things. And we see that here. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. And they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. They went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked on the road with us and opened the scripture to us? They're saying, duh, we felt it, why didn't we get it? Because their heart was full of sadness. We're a little slow sometimes. And now all of a sudden they realize, I should have had a V8. For those of you who didn't watch the commercial, just never mind. I said, we got it now. We see it. They finally got it when we saw Jesus breaking the bread. They remembered that Last Supper and the redemption he promised. It says they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled there, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus had recognized them when he broke the bread. Once they heard the truth, guess what they did? They went back to Jerusalem, the very place they should have never left. But Jesus, in his mercy, walked with these heartbroken people, these saddened people, to bring them back to where they needed to be. And Jesus will do that to us. And he'll bring us to a place of acceptance. Interesting side note here. Neither group got what they were looking for. Mary Magdalene didn't get the body. She didn't get a hold on to Jesus. The disciples who were going to Emmaus, they didn't get the Redeemer they were looking for. But guess what? They got something worth a lot more. And when we allow God to take our sadness and move it into a place of acceptance, we can receive something more, something better, something greater. Psalms chapter 30 says, "You have turned my mourning into dancing. You peeled off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, and my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks forever." That's where God wants to take us. Yes, there is a time to mourn. There is a time to sadness. And sometimes, as human beings, we want to pull people out of it too fast. It's been 3 days. Why aren't you better? It's been a year. Why aren't you over it yet? Well, I was married to this person for 50 years. Maybe I should take more than a year to get over it. We got to work these things within us. We got to know what God's doing within us, but not allow sadness to take us to that place of self-pity and resignation, but a place of acceptance that God will work things together for good, even when we lose those things that are so precious to us. But we have to look to him to do that. And we do, good things can happen. God can change our mourning into dancing. He can change our sackcloth, our sadness, into joy, if we let him. Let's stand together and sing. Since Jesus came into my heart, and let me tell you something, when he comes in, he can fill your heart with joy. And now, Father, I ask you to be with each one as they leave this place today. Lord, those who are sad, walk with them as they walk through this sadness. They process it. And those who are filled with joy, Lord, continue to touch them and let them see the good things around you. And Lord, let us, each one of us, be a witness for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless.